September 11, 2001 was a day that shocked the whole world and changed the lives of millions of people. One of those is Mitchell, whose whole life trajectory changed because of this one day. Hello and welcome to our special Anzac Day edition of Share, Learn, Connect. I'm Ash Panetta, and today I'm honoured to be interviewing Mitchell Turvey, a third generation veteran in his family. Mitch has served in the Australian Army for many years and has been committed to serving his country in every way possible. Downer acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which his podcast is recorded and wherever you are listening to today. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people listening today. This episode contains content that may be alarming to some listeners. Please check the show notes for more details. Hi, Mitch. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. Can we start with a bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Ash. Look, my name's Mitch. I work in Downer Defence in what's called the Estate Development and Base Upgrades team as the Program Integration Manager. I work on Gallipoli Barracks in Brisbane, and I love watching Formula One car racing or motor racing.
We spoke offline that you, in a previous life, were an army officer. Can we start from the beginning, and can you take us through what your role was?
Thanks, Ash, and thank you also for taking the time today to stop and take time to remember all the Anzacs. I really appreciate it. Look, my role in the army was an army logistics officer. So it's what is called the RAOC, or the Royal Australian Army Ordnance Corps. And the beauty of that role is that you get to work in all different areas within defence, not just the army. You can work in departments that include public servants, Navy, Air Force. And it's one of the benefits and one of the great experiences I had as an army officer was, getting to work with engineers, getting to work with other logisticians, working with procurement specialists and across services as well.
Very interesting. What inspired you to join the army?
Yeah, Ash, look, I think when you make a decision like that, there's no individual factor. I think there are several things that inspired that decision. I had been working as a tradesperson. I'd completed a Certificate 3 in electronics engineering, and I'd been doing that for many years when, like many, listening to this, would remember the tragic day of September 11. And it had a real impact. And it wasn't just that day, but it was... what followed as well with ongoing acts of terrorism around the world. And, I just thought, this is terrible. These are bullies. People are afraid to go and live their lives as they normally would because of these bullies. I want to be part of the people who do something about this, that return stability. So that was certainly a factor. Also, I'm very proud that my grandfather served in World War I and World War II. And I used to go and watch my grandfather march on Anzac Day and was always so proud to see him so humbly marching, with a group of other World War II vets who just came together on that day. He was certainly a big part of my inspiration, and he actually came and saw my graduation from the Royal Military College when I graduated, which was one of my proudest moments.
That's really incredible to hear all those different elements of why you did join. So during your time of serving, and for those that might not know, did you ever deploy?
Yeah, absolutely, Ash. Look, I consider it to be a privilege and an honour to be able to have been selected to deploy. I deployed with what was called the Third Mentoring Task Force, or MTF3, and it was part of a battle group that was primarily constituted of the soldiers from the 2nd Battalion, Royal Australian Regiment, out of Townsville. The Mentoring Task Force, as the name suggests, was about mentoring the Afghanistan National Army, and and supporting them to be able to conduct operations fully independently, and eventually the withdrawal of coalition troops out of Afghanistan. Deployments, that was my experience in a deployment. But Australia has obviously in my lifetime deployed to numerous different places. And it takes, several different shapes as well, Ash. My deployment, we were on a 7 to 8 month rotation. That includes a handover period with those that were already in Afghanistan, and obviously a subsequent handover period as we left Afghanistan in 2012 also.
And Mitch, can you take us through the different journeys of your roles? What years were you being deployed and coming back from?
The start of my career in the Army, I rocked up at the Royal Military College, Duntrude, in 2006, and I'd never been to the Royal Military College before that day. So, what an amazing experience to rock up to this just outstanding facility with so much tradition, so beautifully maintained. And part of the what I love about my role at Downer is I was at Duntrude in Canberra again yesterday. So it feels like a trip down memory lane, driving back in those gates again. It's fantastic. I was what's called a general service officer. So I did 18 months at the Royal Military College. On graduation, I posted to Townsville to what's called the 3rd Combat Service Support Battalion. And that was a high readiness period in my career. So I commanded what's called the Combat Service Support Team. So that's a small, agile team that's able to deploy anywhere in the world to support operations on short notice. So that was an amazing time, a lot of training, a lot of exercises in the field. After 2 years in Townsville, I posted to what's called the 21st Construction Squadron. So that's a group of engineers who specialise in construction. And that was a fantastic experience. I got to deploy or go on exercise on what's called the Army Aboriginal Community Assistance Program. And that is a jointly funded exercise by the federal government and the Australian Army to provide diverse support to Indigenous communities. We deployed to a place called Pukaju, which was in northern South Australia. We lived in tents in the freezing cold for 4 months. The engineers conducted what's called vertical and horizontal construction, so building of housing as well as upgrades to roads. But what was really great is it went beyond that. Army health elements came and they provided health services and welfare services to the community. A group of Army reservists joined us also, and they provided trade training and upskilling in the community to provide job opportunities. It was just, a really diverse mix of people, with this single goal to support this community. I'll be honest, on paper looked like what would be a really tough period, living away from your home and your family and friends for 4 months in tents. But one of the highlights of my experience in the Army, to be honest, Ash, and because of the great group of people that did it. After that posting, I went to on promotion to the Army Reconnaissance Helicopter Procurement Project we spoke about the call I received from my best mate about the trip to Afghanistan, and within 3 days I needed to be in Townsville to start some specialist training. The training you receive is second to none. I was part of what's called an OMLET. We love our acronyms, Operational Mentor and Liaison Team, and we undertook some really specific training, which included speaking to mentors who would return to Afghanistan, as well as some other specialists like professors. We did a case study on the complexities of moral genetics, which was absolutely fascinating and something I still talk about and reflect on today, and the responsibility of leaders in creating and maintaining great cultures, whatever your workplace is.
Mitch, we asked you, did you ever deploy? And then we asked, when did you return from Afghanistan? But if you could, what were some of the highs and lows when you were deployed?
Yeah, thanks, Ash. And look, great question. Look, I love reflecting on every element of the deployment. As I said, you know, it's such a privilege to be asked to deploy when you're serving. And it's why we serve, ultimately, is for that opportunity. So to be presented with it in itself is one of the highlights. The genuine diversity and relationships is certainly one of the highs for me, Ash. As a mentor, I worked with US forces, so a group from Indiana and the United States, and just a great group of people. You know, it's amazing how much you have in common with everyone in from around the world, and you really learn just how much we all have in common when you're in these types of environments. Also Slovakians, who, you know, which was also fascinating, and even, you know, an even more diverse culture. And of course, the Afghanis that we worked with. And, you know, some of the fondest memories I have are of my interpreter that I work closely with, you know, a young man from Afghanistan who literally put his life and on the line and endangered the life of his family to work openly with me, and just a courageous young man, proud of his country, proud of what he was doing, and just with a great sense of humour. We had some great times together in the toughest of circumstances when it was just he and I. And as I said, the courage. You know, we're very well equipped when we deploy. You know, with body armor and weapon systems and training, of course, as I mentioned, that is second to none. He had body armor, but he was unarmed. He wore an Australian uniform and never stepped down from any challenge. So he was certainly one of the highlights. One of the highlights was when one of the Australians decided to provide the Americans that I was working with a copy of an Australian-American dictionary. And of course, I won't go into what some of those translations were, but needless to say, they found it hilarious and loved shouting across the compound their new Australian language that they had discovered. And friendships and relationships I still enjoy today. We still maintain contact through Facebook, and often the messages I receive from them will start with, you know, parts out of that Australian-American dictionary as well. So look, those are some of the highlights. And yeah, just, you know, feeling responsible as a leader for this group, knowing there were mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters all around the world counting on me to care for and provide the safest environment for this group was just such an honour. You know, spending Christmas Day in Afghanistan, you know, with my mates that I worked with, that was a high as well. And look, you know, for me, a high was, it's actually a mixed feeling, was returning to Australia. You know, the highs of job is, you know, our job is done. It was great to be able to measure our success. We actually used a tool where we reported to the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, quite a complex tool that enabled us to talk about here's our current state, and as we continued our mission, how we had progressed towards independent operations for Afghanistan. So it was great to be able to reflect on that, but also the mixed emotions of saying goodbye to these people that I had worked with so closely, feeling like, you know, you're leaving them, deserting them to carry on the mission, and knowing, you know, I'll never speak to this young man again. There's no way to maintain contact. So there were certainly mixed feelings with that experience. And look, a lot of those highs revolved around my friend that I spoke about, who we deployed together. When we were over there, another good mate of mine, attended the Royal Military College with, and we were fortunate to be selected for what's called a FAPE, just because we love acronyms, Ash, a Foreign Academy Exchange Program to Singapore. Right. So, and I were part of that group that got to go and live and train with the Singaporean forces and then return the favour when they came to Australia. And was unfortunately the victim of an improvised explosive device. And he was wounded, okay, you know, physically injured, but okay, and returned to Australia and replaced with another gentleman I attended Royal Military College with, Captain Bryce Duffy. So I'd just seen Bryce when he'd arrived in Afghanistan. I'd bumped into him in a place called Tarakout, where we were primarily based in Afghanistan. Bryce was transferred to support the forces at the base. I spoke about it at Peacemaker or Saltbin. And on one really challenging day, unfortunately, in what the media were referring to as a green on blue incident, one of the soldiers that we were training turned his weapon onto the mentors and soldiers. And in that tragic event, three Australian soldiers lost their life. One of the Afghanistan interpreters lost his life, and seven other Australians were wounded. So that certainly led to, what was a low point personally and professionally. Personally, you know, some of those people I'd shared those highs with that you confide in and debrief each other were gone. Bryce killed in action and Chris quite seriously wounded and evacuated out of Afghanistan. Very fortunate to have received an email from an Australian Air Force officer working in Germany with a phone number that I could reach Chris on in Germany. So we were able to continue our banter over the phone inconsistently, and have some jokes and have him stop me from telling jokes because it was hurting too much as he was laughing. That was certainly one of the low periods, as I said, personally, but professionally, we have a job to do. We're there representing Australia, and we have a job, which is to achieve these independent operations. And we have to continue that job in an environment where, tragically, one individual had really put that relationship under strain through his actions. So the way I managed it, Ash, was to confront it head on. As I said, you find common ground with people from all backgrounds and cultures, and I went straight to the people that I worked closely with, that I was responsible for mentoring, and we just called it out. They were very compassionate and open in acknowledging, the tragic loss and injuries. But I put it to them, can we move forward? And what does that look like? Because at the end of the day, we've both got a job to do. So, fearing a repeat or dwelling on the incident isn't going to support either of us with the job that our countries are asking us to do. Let's move forward. And over a cup of chai, chai was the drink of forming relationships in Afghanistan. By the time we had finished our glasses of chai, Ash, we had acknowledged, validated, and had a plan to move forward with getting our jobs done.
Wow, thank you so much, Mitch, for telling us your story and your experience of when you were deployed. Can I ask, what inspired you to join Downer?
Yeah, look, Ash, great question. And similar to my journey that led to joining the Australian Army, several convergence of several factors led to my joining Downer. When I left the Australian Army, I was in a role with a business providing a contracted service to defence. During that journey, which again was several years while studying my master's, as part of completing my finance subject, I had to choose a ASX listed business, so an Australian business, that and get their annual reports and do an assessment of their financial performance over a number of years. Speaking to a good friend of mine I was working with, my senior finance business partner, he suggested Downer. And I downloaded the annual reports and I started reading the at-the-time CEO's Grant Fenn's messages, and was my mind was immediately made up that I am going to be using Downer as the subject or the organisation for this subject. I was really impressed by the long-term vision and strategy of Downer as an organisation, and understanding that even though organisations have highs and lows and ups and downs, when you've got a leadership team that has a strong vision, a great culture and great people, because let's face it, it's the people who make the organisation in a business like Downer, you will ultimately ride that high again. So after doing that and continuing to work, I was looking for opportunities in Downer. And when one popped up, I applied and was fortunate to be selected through that process.
Very nice. Well, we're so thrilled to have you here then, Mitch. And you spoke about, you know, you're so right when you say that Downer is a people business. Can you tell us a bit more about your business unit for those that aren't in defence? You know, what are the people like that you work with? How do they support you if they do? How can you support others? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I'm really excited about answering this one, Ash. Look, working in Downer is an amazing experience, and driving back onto defence bases, something, you know, I didn't know that I would ever do when I made that conscious decision to diversify my experience. Driving back on, it felt like coming home. You know, it felt like watching a movie from your childhood. You know, for me, it's like watching Top Gun and you know, picturing Goose and Maverick high-fiving. It was a real nostalgic experience. And the business I work in, I'm part of Downer Defence, which, as you said, Ash, there are many different organisations within Defence. Downer Defence specialise in providing a really broad set of services to the Australian Defence Force. Not the Australian Defence Force, the Defence, all of Defence, the Defence community, the Defence Force and everyone within. And I like to use the term entrusted. When you're successful in winning a contract and your customer entrusts their estate, in the case of my experience, the Defence estate to Downer, again, it's like serving. It's an honour and a privilege to be entrusted with such a big responsibility. My part within Downer Defence, I'm part of the Estate Development and Base Upgrades Team, or EDBU, because we still love acronyms. And we're responsible for providing maintenance, repairs, upgrades to just a massive estate. So, yeah, I am... privileged to work with just a great group of people who are dedicated to serving our customer. You know, there's of course a lot of complexity in working on the defence estate, but ultimately we always like to reflect on the mission of the Australian Defence Force, which is so important, reflecting on how our Downer pillars align with and support and enable that mission. And at the end of the day, the people who live, work, train on the defence estate, you know, that is our ultimate responsibility.
So, Mitch, the reason we are here today is to talk about Anzac Day. Anzac Day is an important one for all of us here at Downer in Australia and New Zealand. Can I ask, what are your plans and how do you celebrate Anzac Day?
Yeah, look, to answer your question, Ash, absolutely, I celebrate it. You know, it's a really special day, Anzac Day, and something that I love to reflect on Anzac Day is everyone who is in service to this country. This year particularly, I'll be thinking of the young Queensland police officers who tragically gave their life in service earlier this year. You know, many of us will think of rural and state firefighters who put at risk and give their lives in service. You know, I'll be thinking about my grandfather and my great-grandfather. So, yeah, absolutely, I celebrate it. I think it's a fantastic day. I'm constantly humbled by the crowds that come out in cities, in rural areas around the world to remember the Anzacs and the Anzac spirit. You know, I love seeing the school children, you know, with their relatives' medals marching proudly as well, and just knowing that, you know, this tradition lives on. And you know, as the ode says, you know, at the going down of the sun in the morning, we will remember them and these future generations. You know, people like yourself, Ash, who are taking the time to talk and ask and learn about Anzac Day. You know, businesses like Downer who are so overtly supportive you know, not just of the day, but, you know, all of their ex-defence team members who still work within Downer Defence and Downer as a bigger business. It's always humbling to see, you know, whatever size or shape or look it takes, people keeping that that Anzac spirit alive.
Thank you so much, Mitch, for sharing your experience with us, sharing your story.
Thank you to yourself and everyone who's taking the time to remember Anzac Day and honour the Anzacs. I really appreciate the opportunity and thank you.
Along with Mitch, we want to take a moment to honour and acknowledge the veterans who work at Downer. These people have continued to serve their country by working for our truly sovereign business. So, let's take a moment to remember and honour this Anzac Day, those who have served their country and continue to serve in their own unique ways.
Thank you for listening. Join us next month for another episode of Share, Learn, Connect Season 3.